2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are talking about retirement. And joining me today is Sarah Holden. She's a Senior Director of Research at Investment Company Institute. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
I have done a lot of shows on retirement and why you should do it and when you should start. But I'd really like to start off with, what is the difference between a 401k and an IRA? Let's just start there, because these letters and numbers get thrown out there willy-nilly, and I'm not sure we've ever discussed exactly what the difference is.
Sure. So I'd be happy to go over that. So basically, when saving for retirement, there's two places where you can do it. You can do it at your job if your employer sponsors a plan. And then if your employer doesn't sponsor a plan, or you're even a non-working spouse of someone who works at a place that has a plan, you could set up an individual retirement account on your own. So the IRA is something that you as an individual can set up on your own. You choose the financial services firm where you want to do it. So you can go to a broker or an advisor. You could go directly to a mutual fund company. You could go online, and you can open up an IRA and contribute to it. But if at work you have a plan, it could be a 401k. And the 401k is the section of the Internal Revenue Code that it falls under. So that's how it gets that name. So the 401k is really the most common defined contribution plan. So you might have a 401k plan at your job. If you work for a university or a school or a hospital, your plan might be called a 403B. And again, that's because that's the section of the code that that type of employer's plan falls under. If you work for a state and local government, you might have something called a 457 plan. So regardless of the numbers on it, the thing to find out at your job is to ask, do I have a defined contribution plan here, and how can I go about getting into it?
I'm going to go back for a minute out of the 401k, 403Bs. Mm-hmm. If I'm an individual and I want the retirement plan, that IRA, why do I need to go through a broker? Can't I just start investing on my own without using somebody else? Because don't they usually take money from me to do that?
So with an IRA, you can go anywhere you want. So brokerage is just one option. You could actually go to an online brokerage where you just go online and you start the account yourself. You could go directly to a mutual fund company website, again, if you're a do-it-yourself type investor and you want to open up the account just directly online. And then you're basically just choosing from the mutual funds that that company offers, or you could be choosing ETFs. And then if you're someone who wants a little help and some direction on this, you might have a financial advisor that you're already working with, and you could work with them. So with the IRA, you really have the full range of the retail investment marketplace available to you. And depending, as you note, depending on which route I choose, if I'm going to do it yourself, I don't have to pay myself for advice or for helping myself. But if I want to go to an advisor and get a, you know, a comprehensive plan worked out where we think about all of my various investing goals and taxes and all those things, then I would indeed be paying that person to help me with everything in addition to that IRA. So lots and lots of choice in the IRA space.
And then one last thing on IRAs before we move on. There's a Roth IRA and there's just the IRA. What is the difference between those two, and which one should I invest in?
We just celebrated the 45th birthday of the traditional IRA. So the traditional IRA was created on Labor Day, which happened to be September 2nd, so the same date as this year, back in 1974. And it was originally set up for people to make contributions and for people to do rollovers. And it wasn't until 1997 that the Roth IRA was created. And you could first contribute to that in 1998. And the idea there that Congress thought about was that some folks might like to have a choice in the tax treatment of their retirement savings. So with the traditional IRA, I get to put in pre-tax money. So I'm putting in the contribution. It's not getting counted as part of my income. I'm not paying taxes on it in the year I make the contribution. When the money's in the IRA, it compounds and it grows, and whether there are investment returns or dividends or capital gains, whatever goes on in there, while it's in the account, I pay no taxes on it. But with the traditional IRA, when I get to retirement and I start taking the money out, it gets counted as part of my income, and I pay taxes on it as part of my income. So that's the traditional. With the Roth, the thought was, well, there might be some folks who, you know, want to pay the taxes now and then not pay the taxes later when the money comes out. So with the Roth, I have to pay the taxes on the contribution now, so it's after-tax money. The same kind of growth happens inside the Roth, so it just grows along. I don't pay any taxes while it's in there. And if I follow all the rules and I get to retirement and I take the Roth money out, it actually comes out tax-free because I already paid the taxes on the contributions when it went in. So it's two different sort of timing of when you pay the taxes. And what might be a little surprising to people, if your tax rate when you contribute is the same as your tax rate when you take out, they're actually equivalent. So the question is, when would you prefer one over the other? And what we see in the data is that quite a few young people like the Roth. And if you think about that, they're young, they're just starting their career, and what's probably true about their current tax rate is probably pretty low. So they'd like to know, hey, I've got this money put in, and I'm going to pay the taxes now that I'm in this lower tax bracket compared to where I think I might be going later in my career.
I'm 55 and I'm going back into the workplace after I raised the kids, helped my husband along, and then either he retired or he's passed away. And now I'm getting back into the workplace, maybe part time. I don't qualify for a 401k. In my circumstance, should I be doing a Roth IRA, do you think, or an IRA? A traditional.
So that it varies by person. So so you're an older worker, you won't have as long a time for the money to compound. That said, there's an advantage to both. You get that growth of the investment inside the account while it's inside the account without paying taxes. For an older worker, the thought might actually be when you get into retirement and you're taking money out of your plans, you might want to have sort of the traditional tax treatment for what's going to be your living expenses. So for the distributions or the money you're going to take out on a regular basis year after year after year to cover your basic expenses. And then you might want to have the Roth account as that account where you keep the money for those, you know, what we economists call lumpy payments that come up. So the roof on my house needs to be fixed, or I need to replace a furnace or a vehicle or something. So that's a bigger expense. And if I have a Roth IRA sitting there, I could take out the money to cover that bigger expense without it impacting my income for that year and my taxes for that year. So that's another way to think about the decision of Roth versus traditional. One may be for those bigger expenses that I might have in retirement versus the other might be thought of as for the more basic expenses over retirement.
And there's one that I've never actually talked about with any of my guests is you can actually do both an IRA and a Roth IRA to do what you just talked about. And I actually do that myself. I have about 1.5% of my income going into a traditional IRA, and then I have about 6% going into a Roth IRA so that I have both sides covered once I retire, like you said.
kind of, it's tax diversification. So I have a little bit in each area so that to, again, deal with those different types of expenses I might anticipate in retirement.
Yeah. So you can do both, but even if you have, you do both the IRA and the Roth IRA, there's a certain limit each year that you can put into, and that's the combination of both of those. You can only put in $5,500 a year. Is that correct?
That's gone up to $6,000.
Oh,
so that gets adjusted for inflation. So if you're younger than 50, you could put in $6,000. And if you're 50 or older, you qualify for what's known as a catch-up contribution. And for the IRA, that's another $1,000. But if you're contributing to both a traditional and a Roth, you have to split that total between those two. You can't do, you know, $6,000 to the traditional and then $6,000 to the Roth.
I know. We're going to talk to Congress about that here. All right. We need to take a little break. When we come back, we will do more on the 401k. We're going to go back to what your employer can give you. And we'll be right back with Sarah Holden. She's a senior director of research at Investment Company Institute.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way whatsoever, we're talking about it. And today it's retirement, 401k versus IRA and a Roth IRA. And what do all those mean? Joining me today is Sarah Holden. She is a senior director of research at Investment Company Institute. And as we left that last segment, Sarah, we had just finished up on the IRA and a Roth IRA. You did touch a little bit about what a 401k is. So now I'd like to go a little bit more in depth on that. How does a 401k help me if I work? And you can only set this up if your employer does it. So you have to be a working person to get a 401k.
Your employer has to offer you the 401k. Although if you are a self-employed person, you can set up a 401k for yourself. So you can, the self-employed can set up a 401k. But the typical way that most workers will get to a 401k is because their employer is offering a 401k plan. And what's really key here is the 401k was one of the benefits that your employer is offering. And so you want to be sure you take full advantage of that benefit. And so the first thing you want to be sure you do is that you actually enroll in the plan. You sign up for the plan. Now, some employers will automatically put you in the plan, but others you will have to actively sign up. And then once you're, you know, participating in the plan, the next really key decision is deciding how much to contribute. And here, the really key and important thing is to be sure that you take full advantage of any employer contribution there might be. So 9 out of 10 401k participants are in a plan where their employer will actually put money into their account for them. And sometimes it'll just be a little contribution of, you know, maybe 2% that everybody gets. But most of the time, the contribution that the employer will put in depends on how much the worker themselves puts in. And so you've got to be sure that you are putting in enough to really take full advantage of that employer contribution if it's an employer matching contribution.
Yeah, that's what my work does right now. They match up to 3%. So if I only put in 1% of my income, my employer would only match 1%. But if they're going to meet me up to 3%, I should be putting the 3% in as well. The employer puts in another 3. So I actually get 6% of my income put toward this retirement fund.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's a common formula, the one you just said. Another formula that's quite common is 50 cents on the dollar up to 6%. So a person who's in that plan would have to contribute 6% to get that same 3% from the employer, and then they would be putting in overall 9%. So this is a really great boost right from the start to your account in that you put in some and the employer puts in some as well. So very important to be sure to take advantage of that contribution.
Right. But we don't have to stop at the match that the employer gives us. I could actually put in 10% of my income or even more, 20% if I wanted, but the employer would only put in that extra 3%.
Yes, but you raise a good point that it may be for some people that they do need to save more than the amount that gets them the match. So the match is sort of the where you really need to get to be sure to get all of your employer money. But many plans have online calculators where you could go online and you could put in your current account balance and your current saving or contribution rate, and it would give you a forecast of what you might expect to have at retirement. And for many people, they may need to contribute more than what the employer match is. So that's just another step in terms of looking at the whole picture of, do I need to save more than that match amount? But you need to save at least that match amount to be sure to take full advantage of getting your employer contribution.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought up that calculator because our 401k just recently did that. I think a year ago, all of a sudden, this new thing popped up. It's like, hey, see if you're saving enough money for when you retire. So we would put in at what, you know, what age we are now and what age we expect to retire and how much we've been putting into the 401k. And it said, okay, based on that, you will have $100,000 at your retirement, or you know, whatever the number was. And if I plan to live another 15 years after I retire, $100,000 is not going to do it. It's going to be really difficult to live off of $100,000 only for the next 15 years.
Yeah, so I think what many of the calculators will do as well, in addition to giving you that dollar amount, some of them will actually tell you sort of what you might expect to be able to spend out of it each year. And then that gives you an idea of, you know, over the rest of your life, what you might reasonably get per year. So, yeah, it's these calculators are really helpful in terms of putting people on the, you know, path to figuring out if they are saving enough in order to cover what will be their expenses in retirement. It is important, though, you're not only going to have your 401k in retirement. Social Security is so very important for U.S. workers, and it provides a really, really sound base that we then augment with the 401k savings or the IRA savings. And so many of these calculators will actually help you with understanding what your Social Security benefit might be as well.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. All right, now that we have a better understanding of what a 401k does and an IRA and a Roth IRA, I wanted to ask, can I have all of those at the same time, or is it just a 401k or just an IRA?
So you can typically have all of those at the same time, and subject to there's the contribution limits. And so in terms of prioritizing, really the key is to first look at that employer-sponsored plan, the plan at your job, because as we've mentioned, there's the employer contribution possibly that you want to make sure you take advantage of. Then after that, you may want to look to see whether you should open up or contribute to an IRA, and we already talked about choosing between the Roth and the traditional IRA. But actually, if you're working and your spouse is not working, your spouse could contribute to an IRA based off of your earnings. So you can actually, as a household, help a non-working spouse get a little nest egg as well for retirement.
So if individually I get to contribute $6,000 a year into either an IRA or a Roth or both combined, mm-hmm. and my spouse could do $6,000 a year, if I'm at work and I'm doing just the 401k, but my spouse says, hey, I'm going to open up a plan, can he put in up to $12,000 a year for the household? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that between the two of you, you could. So you could contribute $6,000 to an IRA, and your spouse could also contribute $6,000 to an IRA. So the limits are still based to the individual in terms of the amount you can put in. But I think of the salary of the one person is, quote, covering both contributions.
Oh,
so
I see.
If my spouse is at home and isn't working, but I'm working and I have enough extra salary that we could label some of it to be a contribution for them, it has to go into their IRA, and it's subject to a limit, the individual limit for them, and in it goes, but it's sort of covered by my salary.
Okay. If I have the stay-at-home guy, he's taking care of the kids and raising them. I'm happy about that. I put in the money under his name, and it's technically his IRA, but I'm the one putting the money in it.
You're the one sort of covering it in terms of it, in terms of having the earnings that are going to get counted to go in. And this is if you're married filing joint. So you need to have a married filing joint return, and then the IRS sees the earnings, and then you're able to put in to an IRA for that, for your spouse.
If I'm married and we file separately, we can't do that?
You'd have to look that up. I think you do have to be filing joint to do it.
Oh. Okay, so many things to learn. Okay, we need to take one more quick break. And when we come back, we will wrap everything up with Sarah Holden. She's a senior director at Investment Company Institute. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Joining me today is Sarah Holden, Senior Director of Research at Investment Company Institute, and we have been going over 401k versus an IRA, just the differences between those two, and discuss that in depth. So, Sarah, as we wrap things up on this episode, you know, I would love to put, you know, 25, 30% of my income, some of it to the 401k and some to the IRA and the Roth IRA. But you know what? I only make $30,000 a year. I can't do that. I still have to pay the mortgage and I've got to get food on the table. I have a teeny, teeny bit of money I've eked out that I can put aside every month. So in this case, which is best for me to invest in so I have something going into retirement?
Yeah, so I really think when you're trying to prioritize where to put those retirement savings, really the first best place to look is at your retirement plan at work, because there, if there is an employer contribution, that is a great rate of return right off the bat. If you put in 3% and in your plan you get another 3%, that's an amazing growth in your account immediately. So the prioritizing, take a look at that retirement plan at work, whether it's a 401k or a 403b, whatever it is, and check to see whether there's employer money that you can get by contributing there. Then once you've done that, if you do have more to save, take a look at the traditional and the Roth IRA. And between those two, we talked about, you know, depending on your tax rate and whether you want to have sort of some money in retirement that won't impact your, you know, your tax rate as you take it out. You might want to go with the Roth versus the traditional. Some people do what you do, which is a little bit of both to sort of have a combination available to you. So I think in terms of prioritizing, start with your employer plan at work first. Make sure you get that employer money, and then consider an IRA for yourself. And then, as we talked, if you're married filing joint, consider an IRA for your spouse as well.
Can I designate a certain dollar amount instead of a percentage of my pay? Because I literally have $45 out of every paycheck that's sort of spare money. It's only $45. That's $90 a month that I can put toward the 401k. But that's not even, I don't know, it's maybe 1%, if that, of my income.
Yeah, so that will depend on the record keeper for your plan. So you should look to see, go on your plan website and see how fine an amount they let you get down to in terms of contributing. In terms of an IRA, you can actually set up transfers from your checking account to a financial services firm of a fixed amount at a fixed frequency to sort of get contributions in little by little into an IRA if you want to do it that way.
And but then let's say, you know, it's a few years down the road and I've come into a really cushy job. For the 401k, can I put in $30,000-$40,000 a year?
So the contribution limit for the individual, so this doesn't count what the employer is going to be putting in, but for the individual is $19,000, so you can put that in. If you're 50 or older, you can add another $6,000 to that. So that would limit how much you can put into the 401k. Mm. But then the employer money is on top of that.
Why do they limit the IRA and the 401k to a specific amount? Why can't I just put in as much money as I want?
So I think it's probably a budget issue here in Washington, D.C. that
no.
You know, we're allowing people to pay taxes later and to have things compound without paying taxes. So yes, we're always in favor of having those amounts go up because saving for retirement is such an important goal. But we live in the reality of budget constraints.
Okay, I had to know Washington was somehow involved in this.
Somehow part of that story, yeah.
Exactly. All right, well, thank you so much, Sarah Holden. You've been great explaining a lot of this to us. And at a later date, we want to go into what investments we should be doing in those 401k and IRA programs.
Yeah, lots of choices there.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense onto social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.